Welcome to Nightlife, the podcast.
Well, now. Oh gosh, even just hearing that is giving me goosebumps. It is Halloween after all, so what better way to get into the spirit with a classic scary movie? Even if you haven't seen Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, you probably know that shrieking soundtrack to that iconic shower scene. He's often called the master of suspense. Alfred Hitchcock produced more than 50 films revolutionizing cinema. Tonight, I want to hear your favorite Hitchcock movies as we take a closer look at some of his most loved thrillers. Have you watched any recently? Do they hold up? 1-300-800-222 is the number to call, or text in 0467-922-702. I'd particularly love to hear from you if you went to see these films when they first came out at the cinema. What was that like? Were they as terrifying then as you might find them now? 1-300-800-222 is the number to call. There's a documentary on his life showing this month as part of the British Film Festival, and they're also screening a selection of Hitchcock films if you want to relive the excitement on the big screen. Well, Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne is a pop culture commentator. She's a lecturer at Melbourne University at the School of Social and Political Sciences. And some of you may also know her from her stints on Overnights and Radio National programs. Lauren Rosewarne, welcome to Nightlife.
Hello, James. Thanks for having me.
Okay. What's your favourite Hitchcock film to start off with?
Marnie. So this is with Sean Connery. I guess perhaps one of his more obscure ones. It's a bit psychologically messy, which I really like. It's a bit sort of crosses some lines of decency, I would say. It's messed up, and that appeals to me. And I think, look, all of his films, I think if you look at it from a sort of psychological or psychosexual lens, they're all a bit like that, but Marnie is particularly pronounced in that regard.
Yeah, okay. Look, you are a Hitchcock fan. Why do you love his film so much?
Look, I think if you study film, write about film, I studied film and I write books about films, I think he's considered one of the greats. And that's sometimes we call people great. I'm not sure they necessarily are. But he did a bunch of things that are the firsts in his field. And I think you can call yourself the great or greatest or one of the greatest if your films are still remembered decades and decades on, but also if the things that you did, the techniques you used, are emulated by other filmmakers, because it meant you did something that was a contribution to the medium, in this case film, and it was worth replicating.
Right. So what were some of those techniques that Hitchcock used that people started to use themselves?
Yeah, so you in the intro mentioned this sort of term master of suspense, and that idea of having people anticipating something scary happening and holding them in that set of feelings through a variety of devices, music being one of them, and having them on the edge of their seat and anticipating something that's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and sort of building that momentum and building that terror, he's considered to be the great at doing that through those devices such as music being, you know, we all take it for granted now if you watch horror as an example of how important music is, but Hitchcock really pioneered some of those uses of score in that regard. The other thing people often think about with Hitchcock is also how he got around the censors. And we don't think about censorship today in any real, you know, meaningful way. But if you look at the period that he was making films in the United States, up until the late 60s, they had a thing called the Hays Code, which was a restrictive production policy that really excluded a whole lot of things, you know, sexual content, homosexuality, moral ambiguity, etc. Now, Hitchcock's films have all this stuff in them, but he was making them under this Hays Code. So he had to come up with different devices to allude to things without showing them. And this is part of the reason that film scholars still love him decades on. There's so much to be read in his films because of that use of symbolism and the fact that he was having to tell stories in a relatively restrictive filmmaking environment.
Mm. I'd love to hear from you about your memories seeing Hitchcock films back in the day when they were first coming out. Were they as terrifying as you remember? 1-300-800-222. Or you can text in with your favourite Hitchcock film too and why you love it so much. 0467-922-702. Lauren, let's talk about Psycho because this is more than just a horror film. Was it how confronting do you think it was when it came out in 1960?
Well, it was coming out under this restrictive period of filmmaking. So scenes such as, you know, allusions to nudity, even though it was done in a way that kind of sort of fast edits to make it not so obvious that someone was nude, the way, if you think how the shower scene was cut in a way that you know that someone's naked but you're not seeing it, the, you know, the iconic image of the blood in the drain, these are images that were confronting to audiences because they hadn't been seen on screen before. Even things such as the prohibition against showing toilets in was one of those.
What?
If you have a look at how detailed the Hays Code was, James, it was, if two people were in a bedroom, one person had to keep their foot on the ground. It was really elaborate in terms of getting your film past the censors. And it's part of that reason that European cinema has always had that reputation of being so much more risque and so much more sexual. And, you know, SBS always had that reputation of being full of, you know, hot, erotic kind of European films. It was just that the contrast was so sharp with what they were making in the United States up until that point. But it's also why American cinema in the 70s had a reputation of being quite scandalous because it was breaking free of that really repressive era. We got a bit sidetracked there. But Psycho was being made under this period of restriction, yet doing it in a really creative way and showing some of those firsts, such as the toilet, such as nudity, in ways that hadn't been seen since films that were made pre-code in the early 1940s.
Let's take a little listen to some of Psycho. Here's Norman Bates, played by Anthony Perkins, talking to Marion, about who is played by Janet Leigh.
It's not as if she were a maniac, a raving thing. She just goes a little mad sometimes. We all go a little mad sometimes. Haven't you?
Oh, and I think you mentioned it before, but it's the tension there is really felt in the music, isn't it? The soundtrack, Lauren.
Yeah, and so many people copy that now. We take it for granted. If you've ever watched, and sometimes you'll see clips online where they'll show you horror scenes from modern cinema and show it without the music. And there's nothing there emotionally. If you can't hear this, you know, the sort of tension that builds up the violins in Psycho in terms of the scene in Psycho, that sound is so iconic. But if you watch a scene like that or any contemporary horror film without that music, it's hard to imagine where audiences are going to draw that emotion from, because otherwise you're just watching a set of images. You know, even things like a jump scare, these need the music to get us into a point where we're actually feeling that terror in a more visceral way.
You're on Nightlife on ABC Radio. I'm James Findlay. With you is Lauren Rosewarne, taking a look at the work of Alfred Hitchcock on this Halloween night. He's the master of suspense. Hearing from you on the text line about your favourite Hitchcock movies and your experiences seeing them, 0467 922 702. Steve in Shell Harbour, you say Lifeboat shows human nature under extreme conditions. Thank you for your text. And Tony, you say James and Lauren, as a kid, I used to watch Bill Collins presenting golden years of Hollywood, including the Alfred Hitchcock's great movies. My favourite Hitchcock movie is the classic, Psycho, but North by Northwest, The Birds and Vertigo are also great. I think it was his use of close-ups and music that helped build the suspense and drama in his movies. It was also fun to spot Alfred Hitchcock in each of his movies. Oh my gosh, did you know about that too, Lauren?
Oh yes, this is he's very famous for his cameos, and he had a very... I don't think it's mean to say because he's, you know, he's his own character, but he had a sort of rotund figure. And so he's quite a distinct figure to spot, but it's always in very, very brief scenes. And yeah, it's for fans, it's a nice little cameo or Easter egg to sort of look through. Yeah.
Well, one of the movies mentioned there was Vertigo, released in 1958. Why is this movie considered so influential? I watched it today, by the way, Lauren.
Well, interesting. It's one that didn't make money at the cinema and yet is listed on people's, you know, film people who are critics lists of top films of all time. You know, it's up there with the Citizen Kanes of cinema. And it's interesting because sometimes there are films that are in, and this sounds almost like I'm talking about medicine, but there are films that are often not financially successful but are important. Sometimes films need a little bit of time, a little bit of air, and sometimes it actually there's not always a correlation between making money and making a contribution. And I think Vertigo is one of those films. But I find it interesting because I love that film. I wonder what would it feel like to watch it in the year it came out versus you and I watching it many decades separated from when it was first released. But I think there's lots of iconic scenes in that, as well as these layers of sort of mixed up, I don't want to say sexual tension, although there is sexual tension in it.
There definitely
But there's the sexual politics as well. There's this sort of gender tug in it that I think is an interest. You know, you can watch these films as just thrillers or just as suspenseful films, and that's great. And I think a lot of audiences are doing that. Then there's this sort of other reading to them, which I find interesting, where there's some of Hitchcock's favoured recurring themes. When you played Psycho, the clip from Psycho a second ago, I'm thinking of, you know, there's a lot of films where Hitchcock's mother issues are really identifiable in the sense that it may be a mother figure, such as Norman Bates's mother, or it might be his sort of weird relationships with women who might seem like they either his equal or perhaps an authority figure as well.
Yeah. It really is interesting with Vertigo too. I was reading today that, you know, it was so commercially unsuccessful at the time. I would still love to hear from one of you who at least has seen or saw one of these movies when they came out at the cinema. Was everyone screaming when you were watching Psycho? What was it like? 1-300-800-222 is the number to call. 1-300-800-222. Or the text line 0467-922-702. Lauren, what about The Birds in 1963? It seems like a strange idea for a horror film. Are birds really that scary? I guess
yes.
Some of them are.
Of course they are. You know, James, don't pretend you don't know. I am very frightened of birds and I remain frightened of birds, and I probably have this film to credit for that fear of birds. I do not want anything flapping near me or pecking my eyeballs out. That is a sane fear, James. Admit you don't want your eyeballs pecked out either.
No, I definitely don't. No,
I can't believe you're down.
Especially from vampires.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I can't believe you're downplaying this as a vile, you know, being attacked by a shark is an unreasonable fear for most people. Birds, they could get us at any time. Suffice to say, when we're looking at the impact of a film like Birds, the fact that if you see birds sort of a little bit aggressive, magpies, etc., for a lot of people, our memories do go to Hitchcock. And that, I think, is always one of those signifiers where symbols or even phrases from films decades on can still evoke memories. And the fact that there hadn't been to that point, probably not since in any meaningful way, birds as the at the forefront of a horror film, it makes it significant because it was doing something so different.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm now going to be on my journey to watch as many Hitchcock films as I can now that I've started off with Vertigo. Lauren, thank you for taking us through the world of Hitchcock tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Lauren Rosewarne there, Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne at the University of Melbourne at the School of Social and Political Sciences. There's screenings of the documentary Becoming Hitchcock, The Legacy of Blackmail, and a selection of his films screening around the country this month or November as part of the British Film Festival. You can head to the British Film Festival website for more details there.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.